We are back for our seventh episode of Just Another Magnet Monday podcast. This is Molly Pat Eystone with Marketing and Communications at Stormont Vail Health. And of course, we have our lovely Chief Nursing Officer, Carol Perry, here with us. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Molly. This is so fun. You know how I love this.
I know. We love talking. There's nothing we're better at.
This is my favorite day, is to spend time with Molly.
Yes. Oh, me too. Laurel Sutton is also here with us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. We're so excited to have you with us. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about staffing, but before we jump in, we're going to get to know you, Laurel. So tell us who you are, what you do at Stormont Vail, and what people should know about you.
I am a nurse at Stormont Vail. I joined the team in June of 2014 after I graduated with my BSN from Mid-America Nazarene University. I started on 7 North for cardiac stuff because I'd always loved hearts and EKGs. And so it was a really great place for me to feel like I could get a good firm foundation. And then they took a shot and hired me on in the surgical ICU about a year and a half later. And a couple of years after that, I joined in with our rapid response team as well. And so it's been almost a decade here.
And now, very exciting news, you just got into med school.
I did. It's very exciting. Feels surreal still.
Yeah, congratulations, Laurel.
That's a great accomplishment. We just learned also something that people should know about you as well. She's holding back from singing right now.
Oh, I love karaoke. It's one of my favorite things to do in the pastime and one of my only mic experiences. So that was immediately what my heart was drawn to with this microphone in front of me.
Maybe at the end we'll give you a tune and you can start.
Yes, that'll be great. To be clear, I didn't say I was good at it. I just said I liked it.
That's okay. Okay, so we have a lot to cover in this episode, so let's just dive right in. First question, we all know that staffing around the country is a challenge in many areas, but especially in nursing and really in healthcare in general. So if you could fix one problem in healthcare, what would it be?
Oh gosh, I don't know how you magically materialize enough people to take care of all of the population, but at some point or another, every human being is going to be sick enough to warrant needing care, especially as our population ages. Like, there's so much of that that's going to cause us to need more and more spots to be able to take care of people. And so if we could somehow materialize enough people to be able to provide care for all of that, that would be my personal dream, because everyone is going to need that. That's something that we can all relate to in a variety of aspects of our lives, whether personally or with our friends or family or all of the relatives who call us randomly and ask for medical advice. But we're all going to need that. And so somehow getting enough people to be able to take care of that population we care about in a way that is compassionate and respectful and that they deserve.
Carol, what do you think?
Oh, I agree 100%. I've talked a little bit in previous episodes about the aging population and, you know, the shortage of nursing in particular, but healthcare providers across the spectrum, including physicians, with the aging population. And yes, we need to continue to give people a reason to want to go into healthcare. And it's going to take multiple tactics to get people to understand the opportunities in healthcare. It's not just nursing, it's multiple opportunities. And nursing, you can do multiple jobs. And we need to expose people to that and get them to love that.
And so what do you think has created the nursing shortage specifically?
I think that was taking place before. I think it's a really, really hard job. I think that work-life balance and other opportunities, there's just so many things that people enjoy doing. And, you know, the caregiver isn't number one on everyone's heart like it was mine or Laurel's. People have different desires to do different things, and maybe sometimes we haven't given them a reason to love healthcare. And so I think it's multifactorial.
Oh, I agree. Multifactorial was exactly the word I was thinking about using, because so many of our big issues and things that we face as a community and society, you can't just pick at one thing and say, oh, this is the cause. Because if something were that easy to pinpoint the cause, it would be fixed by now and not the issue. And I think it extends beyond just healthcare. Like, I know there's a lot of talk in my generation and younger about, oh, you don't pick a job that you love, you pick a job that supports the lifestyle that you love and supports paying for the things that you love outside of work. And there's a wonderful thought to that because work-life balance is huge, but there's also something noble about, I feel called to this profession, I feel fulfilled in what I do, and I feel fulfilled in the outside life that I have. And so I think the fact that nursing is a very emotionally and personally demanding profession. And in addition to the pandemic, sure, ramped up a lot of those problems. And I think there are a lot of things that caused these shortages. It wasn't just one thing. And I don't think it's honestly just limited to healthcare in general. I think a lot of professions are facing these kind of crises.
I love that, though, mm-hmm. feeling called to do something that can also support you in your life.
It's a very big blessing for me.
Yes, yes, it definitely is. Okay, a big one for us. What is the staffing goal for medical surgical units in our organization?
So I can start with that. And, you know, Laurel said that she works in intensive care, but she's very aware and sees system-wide how that impacts our inability to move patients to the right setting in the most efficient manner. Currently, in most of the medical surgical specialty areas, and I say that specifically because it's not a med surg area. In every medical surgical area, you're working in a specialty. You're working in cardiac. Laurel started on 7. That's very specialized cardiac. You need to know a lot about cardiac. And then there's a 6 north is cancer, and then 5 is behavioral health and multi-medical complexities. Every area that you go to, you have to have a lot of knowledge and then know a lot about, also a little bit about everything, a lot about a specialty area. So I highly respect a medical surgical area that is a very, very difficult job to juggle and to keep track of. Right now we're currently running about a 6-to-1 ratio. We don't want it that way. We want it at a minimum 5-to-1 ratio. We also have virtual nurse. The virtual nurse was never intended to replace the ratio or make the ratio different, but it's very difficult to be able to staff at a 6-to-1 or a 5-to-1 ratio when you can't stop the patients from coming to the organization. So we do stop it at 6-to-1 to the best of our ability, knowing that we want to go to 5-to-1. And then really, if we were at our very, very best, we would be looking at, do we need a 4-to-1 here? What do we really need based upon the acuity of the patients? And there's very good systems, and nurses are incredibly good at being able to tell proactively a scoring of what can I anticipate that this patient care is really going to need. Because a lot of times, one or two patients are taking all your care. And so if we had a perfect system, in some cases it'd be a 1-to-2 or 1-to-3 or 1-to-4 ratio. So there's no perfect answer. 1-to-5 is what we set our goal on. We're measuring that every single day to say, are we making progress to a 1-to-5 ratio? But that's not where we want to stop. We really want to stop and say the complexity of the patient should drive our ratio, our caregiver, so we can deliver the care that a patient needs and not just totally pull off and have to give 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 patients all our efforts while somebody else less acutely ill doesn't get seen.
And that's a great segue into, how do we know that we're progressing toward that goal? Like, what's that parameter for tracking our progress and know that we're actually doing the right steps to get there?
My personal parameter when I'm walking around and talking to the staff as our rapid response nurse for that day is to assess our MUSE scores, which is the clinical acuity score that is generated for the patients, and to see the ones that are higher level, to be able to talk with those nurses and say, okay, what are your concerns? What are you comfortable with? What are you uncomfortable with? To talk to the charge nurses and say, you have leadership and experience and gut feelings that can help guide you. What do you think needs to happen? Because none of this is going to be fixed by just me or just you or just whoever, but this whole communal team approach, I think, is the way that I've been feeling like you can tell that it's better because, okay, well, if I'm comfortable with this patient being where they are, but the nurse who's taking care of them isn't, then they're not going to get the care that they necessarily need. And so those factors of constant communication and seeing how the staff is feeling and how they're progressing and trending how our patients do from a physical standpoint. Are they medically improving? Are they getting worse? Do we have statistical values and changes that are improving or worsening over time? And I think it's hard for me as just a bedside or rapid response nurse to see that giant overarching picture because that's not necessarily where my professional work lies. So personally, talking to people and seeing how they're feeling and being able to help mitigate their concerns and help facilitate getting patients transferred when need to and doing things to help support those staff to be able to address those concerns is really my indicator for how we're doing.
And how do you feel like it's going? Do you feel positive and improvement and all of that good stuff?
It feels genuinely so much better than it did during COVID. And I know that was not unique to Stormont by any means. There were a lot of hospitals and not hospitals feeling the pressure with that. And I know with that scenario, it felt a little bit daunting sometimes coming into work, but we did it. And I'm so proud of everybody who did it. That was incredibly difficult. Certainly in comparison to that, it feels better. And I think that we're on the right trajectory. I know that Carol and Selena had those staff meetings with us to be able to talk about our concerns and to be able to get ideas. And that was so lovely that someone in management would be willing to hear out our concerns and our ideas. I know that at a lot of places that doesn't happen. And so I think that we're in an upward slope. I think sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees. And so you've got to stop and take a step back and try to check your emotions and try to remember that we can only do what we can do. And it takes some of the pressure off when you're like, oh, you know what? I don't have to worry about that situation. That is outside of my scope or outside of my level of control. And it helps mitigate some of that.
And Carol, why do you feel like it's so important to speak directly to our nursing team? You feel very strongly about and you represent very well as you're directly involved. So why do you choose to lead like that? And Selena as well.
I think it goes back to why I'm so passionate about the standards of Magnet. It's all driven on shared governance, on listening to the frontline staff as the experts. And, you know, from a senior leadership responsibility, I'm nothing without listening to the people doing the work. They're delivering the care. And yet there's a really good process, professional governance, to have a way of identifying what are our biggest priorities. The staff are identifying it because they're living it and breathing it day in and day out. And then getting leadership and the staff together to say, this is how we're going to start addressing it. During those rounding, two things that hit me. During the pandemic, there was so top-down driven decision-making. It was command center, command center, command center. And we were trying to figure out what are we obligated to by KDHE, by CDC, what are the rules, what do we really need to do? Nobody was really understanding, but we did probably the best we could do in that time. And it was very, very difficult. It caused confusion. It really made me grieve the process of professional governance. There's nothing better than having the people do the work with practice, professionalism, communication, and how we can improve. I believe Laurel is saying we feel like we're kind of coming out of this because we have the right people talking to each other. The second thing I learned is that from a team of people that all we're looking at is workforce issues, the challenges. I talk to every professional CNO and society in the states to try to figure out, give me data, what are you doing now? And what I realize is Stormont is second to none. We are doing things that nobody else even thought of doing. And yet we have the academic environments and all that we're doing, we're kind of a step ahead trying to work on pipeline issues. We're looking at the international nurses. We're trying to solve this pipeline issue with multiple answers, and we're making progress. So we look at turnover and vacancy and how many CNAs that we're hiring from TCAP, those are high school students, and we're talking to students that are even junior high now and trying to get them into healthcare careers and seeing all these different aptitude tests that they can take that says, I think that my skills are in healthcare. And, you know, I never dreamed I'd be spending my time like that as a CNO, but that's what it's going to take to try to shepherd people into healthcare careers. But Selena, myself, all of us that are working on the scorecard, we hadn't had a chance to share that with staff to say, this is where we started, and we're making some progress in hiring, retaining staff, in hiring CNAs. It makes a world of difference, and Laurel can speak to this. If I have six patients, but I have a tech that I can count on, that makes a world of difference than if I don't have a tech or a tech that's floated that feels uncomfortable. And so there's multiple things that we're working on to try to address our shortcomings and where we're at today and where we need to be tomorrow that we're measuring now, and we need to share that scorecard. That's why we're saying every single day we have 15% of our staff that are at a 1-5 ratio instead of a 1-6 ratio, and show that we're making progress, and that's what we're focusing on. No different than when we focus on falls or Cotty and Clapsy, we can tell that we're making a difference.
And so, Laurel, whose job do you think it is for nursing retention and recruitment?
Well, I think that's kind of a communal job as well. I think that while a good portion of it is driven by management, I know a good part of the reason I stayed at Stormont is because I love the people I work with. They are so special and important to me, and I've built some really good relationships there. And I know over time I had people who mentor me, and I feel like I've done the same. And I think that the way that we retain people is by coming together and by making it something where that's not your patient and this isn't my patient. Together, these are our patients. And just because it's not necessarily in my specific job to do X, Y, Z, as long as it's in my scope, I'm going to do that to help you if I have the time to. And we're going to pull together to be able to take care of it together. And so I think it's not any one person's job to retain nurses. I think we do that by being together, we together.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, we're all community ambassadors for Stormont Vale. And I think that leads perfectly into my next question for you. How are staffing adjustments made in response to the fluctuating patient workload and acuity procedurally, and how do you guys do it together?
So I can start off from a rapid response perspective. So if we have a patient on the floor who is not doing well for whatever reason, the nurse or the family member or the charge nurse, anybody involved with that patient is allowed to initiate a stat call because they are concerned. And so the whole rapid response team comes together and works together to assess this patient. It's not just me, it's not just the respiratory therapist. Our pharmacist is supposed to show and do. And phlebotomy comes by to be able to get labs faster. There are a whole bunch of things that we do to respond to this particular patient who is potentially deteriorating or undergoing a vent or just wanting to be monitored. There are a variety of options, but no one person is going to handle it by themselves. If you have a concern, you are not in this alone. And so we come and help assess and provide guidance and help expedite support and treatment. And if that means moving the patient to the intermediate care unit so that they can have closer monitoring because that's what their acuity has progressed to, then that's what we do. And if we can't get them there immediately because of bed situations, then I'm going to stay there with you and make sure that you have the support you need until we get this patient to where they need to be. Same if they need to go to the ICU or if they need to go to a procedural area to get something done in an expedited fashion. We are the team to help support you and to make that a better and safer transition, responding specifically to that patient's acuity and to get them the care that they need.
There's two things I want to add to that. I can tell you that if I was a new nurse and I got to work with Laurel, that would keep me here.
Oh, yeah.
You're incredible. You're great.
And I think that's across the board. I, as the CNO, have to create a culture where we can make it the best it can be for staff. But it truly is what keeps people here, is who they get to work with.
I actually, when I was a new nurse, had a rapid response nurse come and sit down with me during an event 2 weeks after I got off orientation. And I was on night shift, and I didn't really know what I was doing, because when you're off orientation, you're still a baby. You like to think that it'll be this great thing where I'm suddenly a nurse, and that's just not how it works. Mm-hmm. And my patient suddenly went into flash pulmonary edema, and I had no idea what that actually was in reality at the time. You see it in a textbook. You hear about it. You test about it. It's not the same thing as being there in reality. And I called the rapid response nurse and my charge nurse, and I said, I don't know what's happening. And they sat down with me. They walked me through it. They said, I need you to call the doctor, who was not waking up particularly well, and said, you need to say the phrase flash pulmonary edema. And we got this patient treatment, and we got them through it. But that is one of my core nurse memories, is that could have been an incredibly stressful, difficult situation, and they were cool and they talked me through it and I felt like I understood it. And while this patient was going through something that could be very traumatic or dramatic, instead it became this, okay, there was a problem, we addressed it, and now I know how to go forward addressing it in the future.
Because you had people there for you.
Exactly.
That's called retention.
Mm-hmm.
And,
definitely.
I think that is incredibly important for everyone to know. To get to a 5-to-1 ratio or 4-to-1 ratio, every single person should say, I'm going to be the reason why somebody stays. We got to give every single new nurse a reason to stay, no reason to go. We're not talking about retaining people because of money. We're talking about retaining people because of who they get to work with, how we nurture each other, how we show up when you're brand new. And there's a lot of information out there about the stress that you transition from a new GN into a role, as Laurel just gave a great example from. But if you have people around you that will help you when you're faced with that, you will stay and you will help the next person. And before long, we won't have any vacancies. We will have a team of people that are committed to each other, and we can handle whatever hits our doors.
With that, what advice would you give for nurses who are feeling overwhelmed with a shift, overwhelmed with work, overwhelmed altogether? Because nurses are the ones that are caring for people. They can't be feeling like they can't give that care if they're not caring for themselves.
Yeah, it's hard to pour out of an empty cup. That's the analogy that I like to think of. When you're feeling overwhelmed in a shift, you need to talk to somebody. If it's your pod partner, if it's your friend who happens to be working that shift, if it's your charge nurse, it could be me or whoever's on the rapid response team. It could be anybody. I've had my nurse manager come out and help do patient care at a bedside level because that was what we needed. You are not alone in any of the situations you're facing. And when you feel overwhelmed, it is very easy to feel alone. And so stopping and talking to people and reminding yourself that you're not alone. And while it's natural to feel stressed or pressured because these are critical situations and it's somebody's life at stake potentially, it is important to maintain your calm, and you do that best by getting people to help and by getting people aware of the situation. Don't feel like you have to bear that burden by yourself. This is a team. That is where our strength lies. You know how when you build a brick wall, the individual bricks, yeah, they're sturdy, but the brick wall is so much sturdier together than any one brick could be. And that's the same way this is. It's not saying that you're not a good nurse. It's not saying that you're not able to handle the situation yourself. It's saying, you know what, we can do more together than any of us can do separately.
That's a great analogy.
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's shift into what Stormont Vail is doing for recruitment. Obviously, we're all community ambassadors, but there is a lot of work going on for recruitment, Carol, you're doing a lot hands-on as well. Tell us about initiatives that we're doing.
I can name some very specific initiatives, and one is our international nurses with the Philippines. I am so excited about that, and people say, well, why the Philippines? You know, they educate a lot more nurses than they need in that country, so it's not like we're going over and taking a workforce that they don't need. They support this, and they will bring their families. They're highly educated. English is their first language, so that really helps. A couple of things that is important to know. They're not travelers. They're not here on a visa. They're here as on a green card. They will be here in our country. They will live here, and they will be a part of our organization and our communities. And so they're part of us, and we'll learn from them and celebrate their community and how they live. And they'll teach us a lot about the Philippine community, and we'll teach them a lot about our diversity and different roles. It's a big differentiator when you want them to live here and that they're employees just like I'm an employee. Second of all, we started a CNA program at TCALC. It's the Topeka Center for Advanced Learning. And it's excellent to see this group. It's 501, and to see this group of young students that are in healthcare. We're trying to expose them more to healthcare other than just long-term care, and that's usually where your focus is from CNA. They will have an opportunity to come work for us just as soon as they complete their CNA. So that's kind of a new care model, that they can finish their CNA, come work at Stormont Vail, and then they can have a career path. Quincy Boquin is also a career counselor that will help shepherd them. And if it's not nursing or a CNA, then there's other paths they can go down. So we're developing very formalized career paths. And then just with the School of Nursing, we have multiple scholarships, not only nursing, but with radiology, with respiratory therapy, any healthcare career, you can get scholarships that the organization offers, along with KBOR, the Kansas Board of Regents. So really trying to help people financially get scholarships, and that will help them with their advanced education. So those are just some things that we're doing. And if anybody needs any help, there's so many people that they can reach out to. Including myself. I have multiple students right now that I'm following through school. I get so excited when they graduate, and help in any way to get people involved in the career that I've done for many, many years. And whether it's I have a son that's in medicine, and I think about if I would have had him be a nurse before he became a doctor, I'm sure he would. Although it does help that his mother is a chief nurse. He'll say, yes. Hey, don't treat those nurses that way. My mom would be all over you. Yeah. So Laura will help
100%.
On that.
It'll be great.
No, it's fun. So that's what we're doing. And anybody that has other suggestions, men, the physicians, there's so many people around here that are recruiting for us. And for that, I'm very grateful.
Yeah, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that people don't know about. And again, everybody is a community ambassador and a Stormont Vail
Absolutely.
Ambassador through conversations, through everything. So what is your vision of how to keep nurses at the bedside or in the profession, Laurel?
The sense of fulfillment and the work-life balance that you can get from doing 3 days of 12-hour shifts. That means not that the 4 days off are the same thing as a four-day weekend. We all know that you feel pretty tired if you do three in a row, but you can get a real strong sense of work-life balance through those off days and through taking that time to be able to refill your own cup. And I think that, again, just working together and the sense of community and the sense of relationships that you build is a good way to be able to reach people. I know one of my good friends in the ICU, she chose Stormont specifically because she was moving to the region for her husband's job and she wanted a magnet hospital. And she specifically wanted to work in either a surgical or a trauma ICU. And we have the unique circumstance that we have both rolled into one. And so she specifically sought out to work here because of those things. And it's very exciting that you can have somebody who's goal is to be here. Like, that's just such a cool concept. And that energy when they come in and are so excited to be there is infectious and spreads. And so I think another important thing to do is to try to check your own emotions before coming into work, because it's very easy to get up on the wrong side of the bed and think, oh, I overslept. I didn't get to scrub my face the way that I wanted to, or my coffee tasted bitter and now I'm just cranky. And trying to check those emotions before you come in, giving yourself a few minutes to center yourself, whatever you need to do to be able to separate those particular emotions so that when you come in, it's communally a place where people are like, yeah, you know what? It's a challenge, but it's a good challenge. And it's going to be a good team effort today. And it sounds like the patient population is difficult, but we have the best crew here today. And that always makes things feel better. And we have the resources like our charge nurses and our PCTs to be able to back us up. And we have these things to be able to help mitigate circumstances that arise and make normal days so much better. And I think those things together make an environment that make you feel good and want to stay and feel like I'm helping people and I'm doing things to make a difference here.
That's awesome. Anything else to add on staffing that we missed?
I just want to reiterate, if we work together on this, we will address this in a way that many, many organizations are struggling with. Our turnover rate is much lower. Our vacancy rate is going down every day. We can see that. We're measuring it. And we want to keep every single person here. And then we will start meeting those goals of a 5-to-1 ratio and then get to a team that we can handle whatever as we grow. Same things are taking place at our new Flint Hill campus. That is an area that we have tremendous opportunity to take care of patients in a level 2 trauma center as they take care of their community. And that was very, very necessary that they have an opportunity to be able to care for the people in the Flint Hills in Manhattan. We have a lot of providers there, and I think people should see that as very exciting and growing. The community and the healthcare providers will help be able to expand our mission.
And talk about being called to a profession too. The Flint Hills campus is a great example. The work that went in to keep a hospital on an ER and quality care in a community.
When you keep them in their own community, that really did provide an opportunity for people to stay in their own community because they were just going to come to Topeka and just magnify what we're already experiencing as high capacity. And so,
yeah, it benefits a lot of people.
Yes.
Okay, Laurel, last question. Have you been through a magnet visit before?
I have.
Okay, so what advice would you give to somebody who is maybe feeling a little nervous or anxious? I've been asking a few people this question.
I think trying to remember that they're just people tends to help me. Like, it's just like you and me. Sit down, talk with them, answer their questions. Feel free to ask questions of your own. Like, sometimes I find that if I have more knowledge on a situation, I'm a little bit more, you know, calm and feel like there's a sense of control there. But they're just people, and they're just here to evaluate the culture that we already have. It's not like we're here to prove something that's not happening. It's we're here to prove how cool it already is. And so just talking with them, just it just comes naturally sometimes if you're able to remember that they're just people.
That's great. That's great advice. Okay, there we go. Episode 7 of Just Another Magnet Monday podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you did a fabulous job, Laurel. You're awesome.
You are. Okay, episode 8 is on its way next week. We'll be talking about the relationship between each other and the nursing pipeline. So we'll be expanding on this conversation that we've had here next week as well. So have a great week, and we'll talk next Monday.